Well, a point of contention in the discussion about COVID and children is whether they should be wearing masks, especially as those who've been stuck at home start going back to class. In the first and largest review of the evidence in April last year, looking at 142 papers, scientists found overwhelming evidence for the effectiveness of mask wearing to stop airborne transmission of the coronavirus. Data scientist Jeremy Howard was the lead author of that study. I asked him about the evidence, though, on the effectiveness of mask wearing specifically by children in reducing COVID transmission.
So what we found, we wrote our paper way back in April of 2020. And we looked at 143 scientific papers to try to find out, do masks work? And what we found out is, as we all now know, yes, they absolutely do. So what we discovered is that when we speak, respiratory particles, they're called tiny droplets, come out of our mouth and they fly through the air and they float around in the air and then other people breathe them in, which is nowadays what we call airborne spread. A mask stops that from happening. It does a couple of things. It creates a humid atmosphere inside the mask, which stops those droplets from evaporating and floating into the air, and it catches them on the way out. And if you've got a well-fitted mask, it also catches them on the way in as well. So that's how they work. And obviously they work for kids as well as adults. It's just a simple physical thing.
And what sort of reduction in the spread do you see if children are wearing masks? Were you able to identify that?
So actually, that wasn't studied at the time of our paper, but luckily in the year and a half since then, somebody else has. A very recent paper has come out and has identified that in a schoolroom setting, in the classroom, there's about a 300 times decrease in the probability of infection if all of the children are wearing decent masks.
Now, what about age? Should very young children be included in mask wearing?
There's certainly no difference in effectiveness. The only question is which children are able to wear them. And interestingly, the best experience here is from America, where the American Association of Pediatricians and the CDC have both recommended masks use in, believe it or not, everybody over two, which really surprised me at the time. But then I thought, oh, well, actually, you know, my daughter who's young, she gets used to the idea of going to the toilet and wearing her socks. And, you know, she's actually quite adaptable. And so what happened is, for example, in San Francisco, they were actually mandated in all schools for everybody over two, and the kids have been wearing them. And there's been a fantastic result. In San Francisco, they've only had three school cases in the city. And that's extraordinary in a country where COVID has absolutely run rampant.
I mean, experts also say that other measures in classrooms are vital. Vaccinated teachers, air filtration, CO2 monitors. If those things are done well, do we still need to impose masks on children?
Well, the other thing we need is vaccination of children, of course. So another thing San Francisco did a great job of is that in the 12 plus age group, they have 90% of children fully vaccinated with double doses. So the question is, could we have, you know, if we had very high levels of child vaccination and excellent ventilation, could we get away without masks? Probably not. It's never been done before. In every jurisdiction where there's only been a partial effort, rather than using all the layers at their disposal, they haven't worked. For example, in England, they tried to use testing as a way to avoid mass infection. They worked really hard at this. They had every kid get tested twice a week. They put every kid in a small bubble with a few other kids, and the kids were not allowed to mix outside their bubble at school or out of school. And despite the bubbles and the massive amounts of testing, in the last term in England, the cases in kids were over twice as high as they'd ever been before. In general, the experience around the world has been half-assed measures in kids don't work with the Delta variant. It's just too transmissible.
I mean, some fear that this is an excessive imposition on the young, mask wearing. You know, some will resist, some younger children, right up to teens might resist. If you have to then be accommodating people, children with mask breaks or exemptions, isn't it better to just let kids be kids and rely on the other measures?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things kids have to do they don't like doing. My daughter doesn't particularly like wearing shoes and socks. You know, and in the end, we say to kids, look, these are just things you have to do to get by in society or to go to school. We require that kids get lots of vaccinations, for example, before they go to school. But you have to remember what the alternative is. The alternative is that in an unprotected subpopulation, like the population of children, you'll end up with 75 to 80% of that population getting infected. So in Australia, we're talking about 3 or 4 million kids. Of those, about 1 or 2% will end up in hospital. So we're saying, is it an unreasonable imposition to avoid tens of thousands of children ending up in hospital? And we have no idea about the long-term impacts, potentially hundreds of thousands with chronic illness that we don't know how long could go on for.
Mm. Is advocating mask wearing by children, though, about advocating for COVID zero, the idea that we can eliminate even Delta if we just, do everything?
No, it's quite the opposite. It's saying if we have Delta, in the environment or possibly other even more transmissible variants that might come in the future, how do we minimise the number of lockdowns? How do we minimise death? How do we minimise the amount of chronic illness? And the way we do that is with layered mitigations. Masks is actually the best bang for our buck. A 300 times decrease in the probability of infection for the cost of putting something over your mouth. That's a pretty small imposition for a pretty huge improvement. And what happens, in fact, is when you look at other jurisdictions where they've kind of gone the let it rip approach, schools end up closing. Lots of schools end up closing because parents and teachers say, my goodness, there's been a mass outbreak. For example, I spoke to a colleague from the UK yesterday, and she said that they just discovered that 2/3 of their child's class were infected with COVID within a couple of weeks of the school opening. So, of course, schools close. So if we want kids at school learning, being with their peers, we actually need to protect them.
Now, you're also looking at the data on the numbers of Australian children who might get COVID, as well as the issue of long COVID in children. What are you finding?
We know almost nothing about the impact on kids long term. We do have a good understanding of how many children will get infected, and that's because epidemiological modelling has been studying this kind of question for decades. And so we know that if we don't protect children, because they're all mixing at schools and then at home, about 75 to 80% of them will end up getting infected. So that's about 4 or 5 million infections. Now, what's that going to mean? Well, we know that pre-Delta, about 1 to 2% of kids ended up in hospital. We also know that Delta is about twice as severe. So we're looking at tens of thousands of kids getting hospitalised, which would be a child health crisis like nothing we've ever seen in this country that I can remember. Furthermore, long COVID, we basically know nothing about it. We know that when we look inside kids' bodies, that COVID is attacking their brain, their livers, their kidneys. We don't know what the long-term impact of that is going to be. There's all the way from 2% to over 14% are the kind of prevalence studies that people are finding. And we don't know how long that's going to last. So it's infecting millions of Aussie kids with COVID is an extraordinary risk. And we just don't know what it's going to result in.
Jeremy Howard, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Data scientist Jeremy Howard, and more on the literature on COVID spread and long COVID in kids in a longer version of that interview at the PM webpage.